This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
Ever feel like you're sharing a bed with a villain from the dark side? Well, it's time to experience the difference. Introducing the OSA, Oral Sleep Appliance. Sleep apnea is a potentially life-threatening sleep disorder characterized by repeated pauses in breathing during sleep. Up until now, sleep apnea has been treated with a machine that leaks, is claustrophobic, noisy, constricting, cumbersome, disruptive, and only treats the symptoms of sleep apnea. The OSA is portable, quiet, easy to wear, easy to care for, and most of all, treats the issue of sleep apnea. Step into the light side today and visit thesleepdifference.com or call 609-400-4556 for more information on this revolutionary solution to sleep apnea. Hashtag sleep more, do more.
This is Kyla, a.k.a. Sister and Kai, and I am with Pen and Pad on Trenton Waves Podcast.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events, marketing
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Hey. It's an interesting day today. It's a big day.
I'm nervous.
I'm a little nervous too. Because we have a very, very elusive, elusive cat.
Elusive.
Well, prestigious, I guess prestigious, I don't know. The guy, he walked here from
that's
his house.
That's the best.
I mean, that's
how
like,
cool is that?
Come on. I don't think anybody in the history of this show has walked here from their house.
I don't know.
So that alone is pretty impressive.
Yes. That's Trenton.
We are sitting here with... First of all, I got to tell you, my wife has had a crush on this guy. Go back and listen to the past couple
You're
of shows. I don't care. This is our show, damn it. And we're going to tell the truth on this show. We're here with the incredibly talented, incredibly... All right, relax. He's going to spit up his water in a minute. Mr. John Hatch, that's right, is with us finally. John Hatch is in the studio. Good morning, my man. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
You
actually,
great.
I walked from home to the office and the office to here, so.
Oh, see, now you're just showing off.
Well, yeah, no, it's great. Him. That's what's great about Trenton.
That's
you can
right.
do that.
This is true.
Yes.
This is very
you
true.
You can walk everywhere in Trenton.
You can walk everywhere. I got to tell you a quick story. So we're in Classics one day. You know Eric Maywar.
Sure.
Classics books, yeah. Right. Lafayette Street, great place. So we're in there, and Chris is somewhere in the back floating around, you know, and I'm up there talking to Eric.
Stacks of books.
Yeah, and I'm up there talking to Eric. And so Eric's like, hey, you know, what are you guys doing, you know, tonight? I'm like, what do you mean, what are we doing? Why don't you guys come over? I'm like, oh, what's going on? He goes, we're having like this little game night at our house tonight. You know, just inviting some people. And then you hear this bodiless voice from the back of the store. It's Chris saying, is John Hatch going to be there? And Eric goes a little confused and says, no. And then she goes, then no. As in when, I guess we're not coming. You want to stay, you got to invite John Hatch. And then Eric
it's
is like,
what? Flattering.
Well, hey, look, I think you're a great
Thanks,
guy.
Chris.
I don't.
You're welcome.
I think you're a great guy. I just don't understand the allure yet. But let me tell you why.
That's insulting.
I don't mean to be insulting. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to learn stuff. So Eric says, well, what's that about John Hatch? So why don't you explain yourself, Chris?
Well, I think it is because you have such a heart for the city. When you were at Eric's 50th birthday party, I think I even said to you, I'm so happy that you're here. It makes me feel good that you're here the party, but also here in Trenton. I feel like you've invested time, money, your life here. And it's like,
31
okay.
years.
31?
Yeah. 31 wow. years, really?
Here 31
wow.
years.
Wow.
So I feel like, so we're not the only kooks that, you know, really believe that this is a great place to...
And we're not kooks. We're just ahead of the curve. You were
right.
way ahead of the curve. So that's kind of, it's all embroiled in that. That's cool. My admiration and all for
Thanks.
What you've done in the city.
Plus, I also tell our kids, like, that I am really... smart and good looking. They just don't happen to believe me.
That
goes without
saying. I'm sorry.
They're like, oh, please.
Didn't he write an article about the Broad Street Bank building? in the Trenton downtown. Ago, yeah. I think that's what it was, though. That's what started the
you
whole.
Think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. You know, you paint this picture of what it would be like living in the top floor and looking at the skyline and the whole thing, and you were like, remember that?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was the whole. Which I actually thought that's what started the whole
maybe,
thing.
Maybe.
Hmm. All right. So, John, so you own a. You're one of the owners, or you own HHG?
What is I'm one of the owners. I'm one of the partners. So three.
You're one of the H's of
I'm
HHG.
One of the H's, yep.
And what's the other H and the other
G? So my husband, David Henderson, is the other H. And then Michael Goldstein is the G. And a lot of people know Michael as Mr. June Ballinger, because June was the artistic director of Passage Theater here in Trenton for like 17, 18 years. And he was kind of, you know, kind of a background guy.
Sure.
But yeah, so we're partners in HHG development, and we did the Cracker Factory on Center Street and Everett Corner on Center Street,
right.
And we're doing Roebling Lofts and Roebling Center and that whole project.
Hmm. Well, before we get any further in that,
yes.
I want to ask you the question I ask all our guests, and that is, what in your journey of life has brought you to Trenton?
Well, it was a fluke. When I finished college, I went to Princeton as an undergraduate. I worked for an architecture firm for a year between college and graduate school. It was a Princeton architecture firm that was doing the State House restoration.
Oh, okay.
So when I was a student, I never came to Trenton. I wouldn't have thought of it. If I thought about it, I probably had kind of a bad attitude about it. But for like 3 months, every day, I came to Trenton. I was like, wow, you know, Trenton's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Brooklyn.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah.
See?
Brooklyn and then Long Island. So
I thought he was born in Trenton.
No. I was born in Brooklyn. So I experienced like the city when I was young, and then we moved to the suburbs, mm-hmm. like to the country that then turned into the suburbs. So it's like, you know, so I got that whole experience. And so I've always just like liked cities. So I was like, Trenton's kind of cool. You know, it was a lot nicer than I had expected. And there was all this construction, and we were working in the State House. And then I went to architecture school. And when I finished, I was looking for a job. And I was mainly looking in New York and Philadelphia and San Francisco. But a friend of mine told me about this little firm in Trenton that she thought was really cool and that she thought did great work. Mm-hmm. And I read about it, and it kind of fit everything that I was looking for, like a small firm that did urban work, did historic work. And so I interviewed and I got the job, and I thought I would be in Trenton for a year or two. So I'm still at the same firm. I'm a partner at the firm, Clark Hayden Hence.
Wow.
You know, and I'm still in Trenton. And then I convinced David, we were dating at the time. He mm-hmm. lived in New York. I convinced him to move to Trenton. Mm-hmm. And he was like, wow, there are like trees and birds. This is like the country, because he lived in Hell's Kitchen. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so yes. Anyway. He dug it too.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, wow. So it wasn't really a hard sell then.
No.
Oh, good.
No.
So you're at the same company that you originally got your first job.
Yeah, I'd worked short periods of time mm-hmm. for other firms, but I've been in Trenton more than 31 years, and I've been at Clark Hayden Hintz more than 31 years.
Wow.
So.
That's cool.
August 1st, 1988, I moved to Trenton.
1988?
Yeah.
We did 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met in 86.
Mm-hmm. Completely dating myself, but anyway.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know you were born in Brooklyn. It's another reason.
Yeah.
I love you.
Part
love
of Brooklyn.
Him. Wait a minute. Wait. If he says Flatbush and Beverly Road, I'm going to freak
no,
out.
No, but one of my best friends lived in Flatbush. Carroll Gardens.
Oh,
yes, second place. Boy, is it different now.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Forget about it.
Because I went to high school at St. Joseph High School.
Okay.
Downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So we just had a reunion like a year ago, and we went back, and I'm like, I don't even know where I am. I just really am like a little bit discombobulated because I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
Some stuff looks the same. Some stuff is so different.
So different. So different.
And yeah, I went back a few years ago, and I was like,
this is... Mm-hmm. My friends were saying, I still live in the same house that my parents bought, like, for, like, $10,000.
Yeah, my parents bought their house for four-story brownstone, $16,000.
Yeah. Wow. And it's like, now it's worth, like, $4 million.
Right,
and oh, my God. It's crazy. Cool.
I want to start a show called Someone Stole New York, because just based on that one visit that when she had a reunion. Mm-hmm. It was that people were like, hey, how you doing? They're shaking hands. They're giving, would you like my umbrella? Like, who are these people? What's going on here? What do you mean, how am I doing? Don't worry about how I'm doing.
He was saying that he came with me, but then I went, because I went to an old girls high school. It was just all the girls. So he went to some cafe, and he goes, nobody has an accent here. It's like everyone's kind of from the Midwest or something.
Yeah.
I think you find one pizza guy finally.
One pizza guy. Well, here's the thing. The only places you can find a New York accent is two places. It's Long Island, New York, and Florida. That's it.
So going back to my high school reunion, it's like, oh my God. like, I'd forgotten what people talk like. Yeah. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. So how long have you been? How long were you living in Brooklyn?
I lived there till I was 10, and then we moved to Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so then, I should have the full accent, but I don't.
You don't.
At least the Long Island accent.
I can do it because I watch Saturday Night Live, but that's the only reason why.
That's cheating.
Like, yeah,
I don't
like
think those people.
Coffee talk. You know what? My father's from Boston and my mother's from Germany, so that's why I don't have an accent. So anyway.
Oh my goodness gracious! I was in a deli and there was a guy in front of me in New York. This is when she had her reunion. It was a cop behind me, a guy in front of me, and the guy's. You know, he was trying to order a sandwich, and the guy taking the order was like, obviously, he's not having it. He's just like, just order your food. What do you want? And the guy's like, oh, you have so many choices here. This is lovely. And I'm like, dude, order the sandwich, please. He's like, oh, so where are you from originally? He's like, what do you want? I'm like, dude, this is how it works. You order the sandwich, you pay, you get out. He doesn't want to know how you're doing. Where you're from? You must be like from L.A. How did you know I'm from L.A.? I'm like, because you have very kind, soft eyes, okay? That's how. And the cop behind me is just loving this because she's from New York. So a lot of people are in New York, but they're not from New York.
Right.
It's like the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. We used to go and watch them blow up the balloons before Thanksgiving. And it was like maybe what? Maybe 100 people, maybe?
Yeah, just it was wandering.
Yeah, no one really knew about it. Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool.
And then we went back again and it was
everybody's there.
It's like people from Tennessee are there. Like, what are you doing here? Yeah. This is like our thing.
The other thing I think is weird, in New York now, it's slow. I'm used to walking fast. When I was in New York, you would walk fast.
Yes.
And now it's like, what? It's tourists and then people on cell phones. And it's just like, get out of my
way.
Come
on.
Like, yeah, move. Go, go, go.
And look, and New York people, like, we're kind of hard. But I always say,
no.
If you can get into the heart of a New Yorker, you have a friend for life. Yes. And the same thing goes with Trenton, sort of.
Oh, I agree
right?
with that.
Okay. We're a little irreverent here. Yeah. But, we got your back if we have
right.
to, right?
I think Trenton's pretty welcoming in general.
Yeah,
so
I do too.
You know, that's been my experience.
Maybe
it's just me. Well, I always say,
you guys have been welcoming.
My line has always been, it's like Mayberry, you'll get that reference.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's like Mayberry, but with a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah. And much more diverse.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Interesting. Mayberry is really.
As much as I love Aunt B, you know.
Yeah. I think she would cut it in Trenton.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that Trenton hustle.
Yeah, so I just feel like wherever we go, we meet people that we know.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, within the city, that's the way it is. And the more you get involved, the more people you're going to know. And so really, anywhere you go, you're going to meet people. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Trenton now.
Yes.
With HHD Development, we are the developers of Roebling Lofts.
Which I love.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. And which is now fully occupied.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we were always, there's a little bit of turnover, so we're always looking for fabulous new people.
Mm-hmm.
The people who live there are amazing and diverse in age, in ethnic and racial background, and single people, and couples, and gay, and straight, and the whole thing. So it's really exciting. And we are working on putting together the next phases. So we have kind of two chunks of phases.
My eyes have lit up.
I just saw that over there.
So there are kind of two chunks of phases. One has more housing, so another 70 or 80 loft apartments, plus two, maybe three restaurant spaces or spaces like that, and retail space.
Now, where would that be? Like, I know the main warehouse. I guess it was
That's building 114. That's right on Hamilton.
Yeah.
That we're looking at commercial office space. Up to a little over 100,000 square feet of commercial office space.
Is that the one-story one?
Yeah, the big, but tall one-story one, right. And then attached to it is something called Building 110. That's the oldest building on the site. And that's a smaller building that's going to be a combination of offices.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking to a brew pub and a distillery. So that's really what we'd really love.
Say, we'll have to talk about that.
Wait, is that the one with the arched windows?
No, that's a different one. That's Building 105. That's the old engine house. And that's also a possible location of restaurant or brew pub.
That's what I thought. I thought that would be a cool restaurant.
Yeah, it's really.
Yeah.
That is an amazing building.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all amazing buildings.
I agree.
And then we also have new buildings that we're going to build on the site as well.
Oh, because you have a lot of space there.
There is a lot of space,
yeah. That's a really nice property. It's pretty much the whole block.
The whole block.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lovebirds, can I cut in for a second? So how
Frank,
is this distillery going to work? I'm over here like, it might as well be like a wall over here. How is the distillery going to work?
the buildings have really tall spaces, right. And so the equipment fits in, and so it's your those kind of things, like the equipment's on display, and
yeah.
And there's tasting area, and you know, oh and distilling
and
area.
If you had a choice between a brewery and a distillery, which would you?
Oh, I can tell you right now what he would go with. He would go with the distillery.
I want both.
No, but if you had to pick,
if I had to pick,
yeah,
that's an impossible
choice.
For you
personally, what would you rather visit, a brewery or a distillery?
All right, I would, if it's a really cool distillery, I think it would be great. I went to a distillery in upstate New York and I was so disappointed.
Really?
But yeah, it was just like, but I've been to one in Brooklyn that was awesome. So okay. That's the kind that I
well,
would want.
It's
so.
Brooklyn, come on.
Yeah, and Brooklyn's in Philadelphia, like they have some awesome ones yeah. there too.
Brooklyn's so. Like its own country.
We've been to a distillery, not in Philly. We were at Bluebird Distillery.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah, right.
Which was nice.
You're not a beer guy, right?
I drink beer. I drink more wine.
Yeah, I figured.
Sorry.
He's more of a winery guy than yeah, brewery or even distillery. But I would
but
say
I've been to, I like beer and I've been to you know,
well, you like it, but you, yeah. But you drink wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. It's sorry. Interesting how the market is going from
I have to be honest.
You feel what?
I have to be honest.
Yeah, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I just figured him not as a beer guy.
Well, I drink beer, but I'm not. I would rather
your,
a distillery.
Your wine and bourbon. That's those are your things.
Bourbon, scotch.
Good. Yeah, I like, you know, it depends. But bourbon I love. I really love the flavor. I can actually drink that just on the rocks.
Yeah.
It's just the flavor of it. So I would vote for distillery, but I would
Frank,
do both.
Are you here?
What?
You're here. Oh,
I'm here. Frank is here. Frank is on the show, believe it or not.
So you have the Roebling Lofts, which yeah. is fully occupied, which is yep. great. But you also open it up to the city of Trenton, because I know you guys do
oh, yeah.
galleries and so on.
We do. The lobby is a gallery, and so every first Friday, we're one of the stops on the sort of art mm-hmm. tour.
Right.
You know, we're on art all day. Mm-hmm. We do that. So we have a you know, bunch of other stuff that we do with the tenants, you know, mm-hmm. parties and events and lectures and yeah. stuff like that.
That is so,
so
cool. Yeah. So everyone gets to know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we actually interviewed Edwin Torres, who used to
oh,
live there.
Yeah, yeah.
He was so, like, I know they wanted to buy their own place.
Yeah, so they've moved to Mill Hill. They're
yes,
right around the corner from us.
And they were excited to do that, but they were kind of sad to leave
yeah.
the Roebling Lofts because they loved it there so much. Because
yeah.
it's really a community
yep.
in an apartment space.
Yeah, it's a great space.
And the apartments are beautiful. Oh,
thank
my goodness.
You.
Edwin had invited us up, Edwin and Marion, and the view. We just gotten up there. It was sunset.
Oh, man.
And they had a corner apartment with windows all around.
Yeah.
And it was huge.
Big windows.
Vaulted ceilings. Yeah. And just what a beautiful apartment.
Cool.
Like, what? Why
it was
are you
a,
looking
it was,
at me like
it was
that?
Just great. I like watching you talk to John Hatch. This is like a show. I wish I had this on video right now. I'm just enjoying watching you talk to him. It's like you're talking to someone who's not quite real, but yet knows you.
He's a superstar.
He's a superstar. Like, yeah,
oh
you're
God,
like you're getting a little like fangirl.
Fan.
You have a fangirl on.
I know, I'm sweating a little. Anyway.
I'm not as nervous anymore, I gotta be honest.
That's because you're not here.
Because we're ignoring you. So there was another property that I always passed and loved. And then I saw you starting, I believe it was you guys, it's the corner of Bridge and...
Center.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've done three out of the four buildings on that corner.
Okay. I know you did the one behind Trenton Social. Isn't
yep, we did that one.
That?
Yep. Yeah. And then across Center Street from that, and then across Bridge from that. The mm-hmm. only one we didn't do is, yeah, it's a nice building, but we, you know...
The
somebody
one across
owned it.
From the Baptist Church?
Yeah, did
that's
you do
the
that
one.
Oh, no, oh, Bridge, I'm thinking...
Is that Bridge?
No, that's...
Oh, that's...
by the Baptist Church, but you're thinking of Federal, aren't you?
So we didn't do that building. Somebody else did that and,
oh, okay.
and did a decent job on it. It looks
I
nice.
Was,
great
I was
building.
Because I
great
loved
building.
The building, and
yeah.
I hated to see it starting to fall apart, and then...
Yeah, somebody did it, yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
oh, what if John Hatch did this? That's why
yeah,
I called you up and said, I think John Hatch did another that building you like.
We just assumed you did.
Yeah, it must be John. When in doubt, it's John Hatch.
We've
it's
done
ADHD.
A bunch of stuff, but there, you know, you said that we were ahead of the curve. I, one of the reasons why I stayed in Trenton was because of the people that we met here.
Mm-hmm.
And there have always been people committed to the city,
mm-hmm.
you know, working for the city, really fighting to save it and to revitalize it.
Yeah.
And so that's what's been really inspiring. We were not, you know, people, oh, you're like the first people in Mill Hill. No. There have been people fighting for that neighborhood. This is a 53rd annual house tour.
Wow. Yeah.
And,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
53 years.
So, you know, one of the first people I met in the city was Betty Holland, and she had opened a store on South Broad Street, and we just got chatting. I was like, wow, like, you know, she was talking about that she and her husband had moved into Mill Hill when it was very poor.
Right.
And, you know, it was, I actually looked at the statistics at the time. It was like 85% absentee landlord, like 90% of people live below the poverty level. And she and her, Mayor Holland, moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because it had been slated for demolition. Mm-hmm. And there were people in the neighborhood who really wanted to save it. And so they moved in to bring publicity to it and talk,
right.
you know,
right.
promote the history. So I was really inspired by by her and a bunch of other people in mm-hmm. in Trenton. So
that was the first spot you moved into when you moved to Trenton?
Yeah, I moved into this little apartment on Mercer Street. Yeah.
Okay. And then you bought the house.
Then. And then we bought the house. The wreck up the street.
It's not a wreck anymore.
It's not a wreck anymore. But it was a wreck.
Now it's on the house tour.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The wreck on the house tour.
But a lot of those houses have been reclaimed from wrecks. You would call them wrecks.
Yes.
Or even our house, right? We're not in Mill Hill, but ours was a wreck.
Yeah. I mean, before we did HHG, we had Atlantis Historic Properties, and that was four neighbors in Mill Hill. And we were, you know, there were vacant houses and nothing seemed to be happening. So we decided that we would get together and mm-hmm. we'd work with the neighborhood mm-hmm. to preserve, fix up, and sell houses. So we did 18 houses and one former community center, the Labor Lyceum.
Oh, yeah.
And, so we did 20 buildings in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. All of them were, quote, wrecks. Mm-hmm. And they're all beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You can take a house that looks, you know, some people walk into a house and if it needs paint, they're not going to buy it. Or if it's like a little dusty, they don't want to buy it. But I was like, we go, and it's like, wow, like the floor is collapsing. How cool.
That's totally Christina.
Like you watch House Hunters or whatever, and they're like, ooh, I don't like the color of the wall. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Paint it. That's an opportunity.
That bed's going to need a new pillow. I don't know.
And then they go into a house where the porches are falling off. I'm like, oh my God.
Please change the channel.
Like, I love this.
I can't stand these people.
I know he's like, I can't watch House Hunters anymore.
Did they pick one, the little summer house, or two, the big mansion, or three, the apartment? I'm like, it's always three.
It's not. But I get it. It's like, sometimes it's just like, I love the makeover.
Yeah.
It's like, because you see it in its most dire state, and then you bring it back to something beautiful that someone can love, you know, and move in and make a home.
I remember Frank Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
Frank. Oh, I missed him on the show.
Another great guy.
He's my dream guest.
Yeah.
Frank Whedon, right?
Yeah. So Frank he'd be your ghost guest.
Yes.
Well, he'd be a ghost guest. He'd still be annoying.
But in a good way.
We did love him. He came to our house once. We were fighting the Leewood thing. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So he spent 8 hours in our house. I'm not kidding. In the kitchen.
We were supposed to be going to Philly, right? We're going to work on this flyer. Because he wanted to get the Spanish just right.
Right.
So he's in our kitchen. After a while, we both just left him there. And we went about our business. I was taking a shower.
Like 6 hours later, I'm coming downstairs. I'm like, this maniac is still in my kitchen.
What was he doing?
He was trying to fine-tune the Spanish.
The translation.
That is so Frank.
Yes.
But wait, so he finally gets it. Perfect.
Yeah, and
the next day, it's done.
It's in the paper.
The mayor changes his mind on the thing.
Wow.
But when Frank came over, he was like, to our house, because we hadn't really done any work on the house yet, he goes, I don't know if anybody, does anybody live here? Is this the back of the house?
Our house is a mess.
I miss Frank.
Yeah.
I miss messing with him. I really do. Aww. When he was running for mayor, he would call, Frank, I need a pep talk, Frank. I don't know. I'm going broke.
I could talk about properties all day. I mean, there's properties on our block that I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to buy. You know, they're boarded up.
Well, maybe he can answer this question. What's with people that are selling their property? You call them up, they never call you back. I think this is like an epidemic. Because every number I call, they never call me back.
I have no idea.
This happened on the island. This happened up the block from us. This happened in the Poconos.
Yeah, like they're selling. You'd think they want to sell, but then they don't call you.
Yeah, but even a realtor.
Yeah, the realtors don't call us
back. You're a realtor. This is what you do.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Have you ever had that?
I haven't bought houses in a while.
Well, you sell them.
Well, you know, there is a property. Yeah, I called a couple times. I don't know why they haven't called back. Believe me, if somebody calls that they want to rent an apartment, we're going to call back.
Yeah, okay. So, well, okay. So that's motivation.
And we have this great website interface and all that stuff. Maybe people are only doing stuff, on the internet or something.
Well, the one that I see in our neighborhood, the one I'm thinking of, that three-story one, it has brown. Yeah. That's not a city-owned property when it has a brown wood.
They used to be green, so.
Right, with a little cat in it or something? Yeah,
well, that used to be.
Cat in the window, right. Love that.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you team up with any other Trenton businesses as far as like a power team up? Like sort of like a, let's say you're in, you build houses, you team up with a realtor, I would think. But in Trenton, do you do any of that stuff?
We try to use Trenton contractors and Trenton businesses. Gotcha. So we've used a bunch. In terms of realtors, we work with a bunch of them. So there are some great Trenton realtors, people that really understand the city. So moving to the city was completely eye-opening. Because as a young person, you think like prejudice is over, like people won't treat you differently. But we got treated so differently when we said that we wanted to move into Trenton. It was hard to get somebody to show us property. It was hard to get, this was a while ago, it was incredibly difficult to get a loan. And so I could just, and that's, a couple of white guys, moving into Trenton.
Yeah, right.
But it was because it was Trenton. There are some realtors who understand the city and will take you where you want to go, but there are plenty of realtors who are like, I've heard many stories about, you don't want to move to Trenton. They're like, why would you do that? I don't want to show you anything there. Mm-hmm. Pretty recently, like in the past few months.
So, really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, talking to a realtor who was very reluctant to show properties in Trenton.
That's ridiculous.
I think people still have this wrong-headed idea of what Trenton really is. Like, they've never been here.
Right.
They just kind of going on whatever the gossip is that they've heard. I've heard from someone, blah, blah, blah.
And I think Trenton gets viewed like it's completely monolithic. So all of Trenton is one way. Right. And if Trenton has, 40 or 60 or, 80 neighborhoods, all of them have their own character. And it's a full range. Yeah. So to talk about Trenton as one way is really stupid.
It's similar to like a big city. Like, what city do you go to that it's all exactly? Well, maybe New York now, but if you go,
it's all clean. What's the deal? People are nice. They're all from the Midwest.
Right. It's just so weird. Like, a city is a bunch of neighborhoods. Yeah. And that's what makes it wonderful, because it's got all this character in different places, and it's not all the same.
Right.
Unlike Mayberry, so that's how it's different from Mayberry.
Well, you were saying, as far as our story goes, with our realtor, right?
Yeah, she took us here because I wanted to have a house without a mortgage. I wanted that freedom, and I wanted something old. And I wasn't afraid of, something that's needed work. So she took us to like 17 properties the first day.
That's cool.
And I got to tell you, I loved pretty much every one of them. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe these beautiful houses are here. And for this price?
Right.
Until we settled on our house. But she was not afraid to take us to...
Oh, good. Like I say, there are some realtors who know what they're doing and will do it. But there are others who are like...
Yeah.
And, I'm talking to people, I've been... Actually, a recent example of this, we were going after a project up in Morris County. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a presentation to county folks, including a Morris County freeholder at the end of the table, and he was asking where the team was from, and so I said, the firm's from Trenton and I live in Trenton. He's like, whoa, like, you're brave. And I'm like,
oh God,
really? Like, that is it's so offensive. Like, what gives you the right to say that and why and think it? It's like, it's just ridiculous.
It's like, oh, you live in Afghanistan?
Like, really? What? You're brave.
What?
And we're trying to get a project, so I didn't say anything. Like, but in retrospect, I was like, really?
I don't know. People are strange. That's one thing I know. Anyway, so do you have anything other than Roebling Lofts that you're doing?
That we're working on developing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we're working on development-wise. Mm-hmm. For Clark Kate and Hintz, architecture-wise, we do a lot of work with some great Trenton clients. Mm-hmm. Mercer County Community College has really been investing a lot of time, effort, and money in the city. So we did their master plan. We designed the expansion of the campus, the downtown campus, and they're going to continue to do that. So Dr. Wong has big ideas. It's just a question of money, getting the funding together. Mm-hmm. But she has big ideas for Trenton and sees it as a huge opportunity.
That's cool.
We We're working with the city on designing renovations to a bunch of their community centers,
okay,
which is, I think, really cool. These are, some of them are great buildings that are in not so great shape. Some of them are kind of, you know, not great buildings, but with our designs, they're going to be great. So,
yeah, of course.
And they're all over the city. It's not, you know, they're not huge projects, but each of them, I think, is going to make a difference in those community centers.
Is HHG going to be working on the Trenton High Line? By any chance?
I don't know about the Trenton High Line.
Have you heard about the Trenton High Line?
No. What is that?
Tell him about the Trenton High Line.
Well, I always pass it. You know, if it's, you know what I'm talking about?
Is that over Route 1 over Market Street? The rail line that's not used.
Yes,
yet.
Yes.
That's an interesting connection. And that would be interesting.
I mean, I drive past it, and like, I try to look at it, you know, as I'm driving, and I'm like, wouldn't this be a cool, like, path with art like they do in New York?
Vendors,
like,
yeah.
Well, not even vendors, just a park. If you know, try and think smaller and just...
Okay,
it'd just
park,
be a beautiful connection.
Yeah,
I want to walk it one day just to see where it ends up. Because apparently it runs very far.
Yeah, stuff like that, adding pedestrian connections like that, I think is really important.
Yeah. Yes,
we have this fantasy about getting a pedestrian bridge over Route 129 and Hamilton Avenue. That's a dangerous crossing.
Oh, yeah.
And it really separates the city there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from all of the Roebling Works and Chambersburg from the rest of the city. So if you could have a cool pedestrian bike bridge,
that would be great. There too.
You know, I'm also working on a study for the Eagle Tavern.
Oh, really?
For Mercer County Improvement Authority.
Which the city owns.
The city owns it. Mercer County Improvement Authority is sort of pushing the redevelopment of it right now.
Good.
So we're working on a study for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's where George Washington hung out, had his meetings there.
Apparently, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's a great building.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
Cool location right by Trenton Social.
Mm-hmm.
So a little plug for Trenton Social.
Yes.
DC will appreciate that.
we also worked on a study called, so it's got a weird name, Trenton Production Knowledge Innovation Campus.
Whoa.
So really, way too long, TPK. But the idea is really cool. The city got a major grant for planning an entrepreneur and innovation center to go somewhere in downtown. So we worked
on it
was a three-part project.
Okay.
We worked on two parts of it, including potential locations for it and what the program for it.
Okay.
So that report is done, and now the city, I think, is looking for funding to try to implement it.
Oh.
But the idea is that the two colleges in Trenton, Mercer County Community College and Thomas Edison State University, would work with Princeton University, Rider University, College of New Jersey, and then Princeton Seminary, you know, sort of tagged in because they were like, we want to do stuff in Trenton or more stuff in Trenton, that they would work together to have programs in the center to train high school students, you know, college students, but also folks, you know, who are out in the workplace who want to start businesses, want to invent things, do products. So, yeah, it's a very cool idea.
I want a piece of that, too.
Now, besides business, I know you're also on a couple of boards, right?
Yeah,
so
a few boards.
What boards are you serving on now?
I'm on the Princeton Area Community Foundation Board, which does a lot of stuff in Trenton and some pretty amazing stuff in Trenton. So the thing that I'm most proud of that PACF does is something that they put together called All Kids Thrive, which is multi-year grants to partnerships between public schools and not-for-profit agencies focused on reducing chronic absenteeism in schools.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
After doing research, PACF figured out, and I think it's really right, that the key thing to impact school outcomes is to reduce chronic absenteeism. You know, every day that a child is out of school sets them back, you know, some number of days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they're out for a week or a month, it's like losing a grade. And every time that happens, you're more likely to drop out of school.
Right.
You're more likely not to go to college. You're more likely to, you know, get in trouble with the law. So if you can have an impact on chronic absenteeism, you're going to have an impact on a kid's life for the, you know, the rest of their lives. So on the board of PACF, I'm on the board of Passage Theater. I've been on that board for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great theater.
And
it's so great to be able to walk from my house to the theater. Lots of people in Trenton could do that. You ride your bike or whatever.
Yes.
Right. And it's great, you know, cutting-edge theater. And I'm on the board of Trenton Historical Society.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the thing that I really love there is the grant program that we put together. So homeowners can apply for a grant. If you have an older home, you can apply for a grant to help fix up the outside of your house. It's called Restore Trenton.
Like, we need a paint job.
you could apply for a grant.
Really?
You could. Now, it's not like they have a ton of money, but they try to give out give out money. So
yeah, we could go toward the purchase of paint or hiring
also
someone.
Also, listeners, if you have something you want to get done in your house.
So it does need to be, so there are a couple of requirements. So that the home needs to be older.
Right.
It needs to be the homeowner. Homeowners get preference as opposed to like absentee landlords, but you just get more points. And then the work that you are proposing needs to be kind of historically appropriate. So if you want to rip out your beautiful wood windows and put in vinyl windows, that's not going to get funded. But if you want to fix up your beautiful windows or repaint them, that could get funded. Okay.
Well, when you say older, like how old? There should be a number, no?
I think kind of 50 years plus. I forget what the guideline is.
50, over 50
years.
Yeah,
I think over 50 years. So. All right. Which is, you know, a lot of houses in Trenton.
Yes.
So.
How old is your house?
1887.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So it's a Victorian, right?
Yeah, yeah. So for the neighborhood, it's on the newer side.
Oh, really? So yours is one of the newer ones.
1887 is the newer one.
Right.
And that's because there were two older houses. So Judy, who lives next door, and, and our house were built at the same time. There were two older houses that apparently burned down. And so these were the replacement houses.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, so Judy Winkler lives next door to you guys.
Yeah. She's been in Trenton.
She's been in a while too.
A lot longer, like 40 years plus.
Yeah. Well, I know Carolyn Stetson. She said 40 something, 45 years, 41 years.
44.
Oh, okay.
44 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are really invested in the city, and they didn't run away, and they didn't, you know.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
They must be brave.
They're so brave and tough. And smart and good looking.
And handsome. And they have questions on everybody.
You know, I'm also on the board of the Capitol Philharmonic of New Jersey. I thought you were on that board.
Yeah.
So I'm vice president of that board. Yeah.
Yes.
Vernon has been on the show twice.
He's great.
He can't get enough of it.
He's amazing.
He is.
He's at everything.
he is at everything.
Actually, something is coming up at the Philharmonic.
Yep, New Year's Eve concert. That is an amazing, fun concert. 8 o'clock New Year's Eve at the War Memorial.
Wait, where's that going to be?
At the War Memorial.
8 o'clock at the War Memorial.
At the War Memorial, 8 o'clock New Year's Eve. And it's going to go until midnight?
It doesn't go that late, so you can still do stuff afterwards.
But it's over.
It'll probably be over around 10.
Yeah, something like that. It starts at 8.
That 4-hour concert, that's too long.
Yeah. Well, New Year's Eve.
It's not Bruce Springsteen.
First of all, they'll start more or less on time. They're not going to leave you waiting for 2 hours.
Right.
Well, that's good.
Do you ever go to the Patriots Week Ball?
I'm so embarrassed to say that I've never been to that. I think we're going to go this year,
really?
Though.
Really?
Yeah, I've been meaning.
Now you got it.
No, that's partly been the reason why I haven't gone. So
it gets sold out, though.
That's why we didn't. I think we were actually going to do it last year, and then it was sold out. So
yeah, I think it's a pretty popular event.
But
I would want to go in full, you know, powdered wig and everything. Like, where do you get that? I'm certainly not making it. Yeah, it's apparently a really popular event because you mentioned the War Memorial. I think they hold it there.
Or at the Masonic Temple.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think Bernard was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So do you do anything for Patriots Week?
Well, we're here, so we do usually participate, like, you know, go to lectures, and we've done the pub crawl, and, you know, go to the battle reenactments and stuff. So I think it's a pretty great
thing. Yeah, it's a wonderful event.
You know, and then there are people who have, like, open houses around, you know, in Mill Hill during the second battle or whatever. We were so stupid. We brought our dog to the second battle, and like the cannons go off. That poor dog was so terrified.
Freaking out.
We had to carry him home.
Aww.
He's such a cute dog. Why would you do that to him?
We weren't thinking, like, you know, you just how loud it is. How loud it is.
Yeah,
it was loud. Poor
Actually,
thing.
Some dogs wouldn't care, but like some dogs.
Yeah. Our dogs would probably freak. Oh, we probably would.
They
bellow
freak without any kind of.
Yeah, they just freak for no reason at all.
Yeah, so.
Before you ask your question that you asked,
yes.
I want to tell another John Hatch, David Henderson story real quick.
Okay.
So years ago, this is Park across the street from our house.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I kick people out when they go in there at night. Because it's closed.
It's closed.
You don't go in there.
I don't care who you are.
I've kicked the mayor out.
Yes.
I've kicked him out.
Doug Palmer.
I've kicked Doug out.
Yes.
And so one night, I see these three people getting out of their car, and they're going into the park. I'm like, who are these people? So
I walk over. I say, hey, guys. And then I realize who they are. Mm-hmm. It's John, David, and I think it was David's mom.
David's mom, right?
Mm-hmm. Three obvious troublemakers.
Right.
They look like, okay, yeah. They're up to something.
Yes, of course.
So I said, hey, I'm sorry, you can't go in the park at night. And John goes, Frank, and he takes off his hat. It's me. I'm like, yeah, I know who you are. You can't go in the park.
See, he doesn't discriminate. It's like, no, I'm sorry.
What do you think? You're going to pull a John Hatch card?
Get out.
And they get into the car and just slowly drive away.
They don't realize. That just happened.
So I totally given me the finger.
That was David's mom.
David's mom gave me double fingers.
She's the nicest lady. She would never do that. But she moved down here. I'm going to ask her if she remembers that incident. Because oh, we do.
I walked away. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, yeah, whatever. I was worried for about a second.
We do the same thing. We do the same thing at dusk. You know, you're not supposed to be hanging out.
So. And that's why I think the park stays really nice. And
it does look great.
It is a safe place to hang out. But I'm going to ask now the final question.
Yes.
And it'd be interesting to hear your response.
I can't wait to hear this.
Now I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
We did 40 shows to hear this.
In your imagination and your possibilities, what would be your ideal Trenton? What would it look like?
So in terms of people, mm-hmm. it would be pretty much exactly the way that it is.
Okay.
So diverse, very diverse people and people committed to the city. Mm-hmm. And that's really my experience, is that there are a lot of people in the city who are committed to the city. There are other people who live here who I think don't see the possibility of the city mm-hmm. yet. So that's what I'd love to change. I'd love to have them here, but that they see how great it can be to live in the city mm-hmm. and how great Trenton can be. But then, so because I'm an architect, mm-hmm. you know, I have lots of thoughts about what the city ought to look like and what ought to be here. Mm-hmm. And all of which I think would make living here even better. So some of it has to do with like kind of just improving street. I mean, it's pretty basic, like street paving and getting nice sidewalks and street trees and really spending time on making the city beautiful, because mm-hmm. it makes a huge difference if you're in a place that feels cared for
right.
and that's beautiful. You know, I have fantasies about buildings and things that could be here. So one of mine is that I have this idea for the Trenton Center of American Pottery. So in Corning, New York, there's this incredible museum of glass, mm-hmm. and it's huge and beautiful, and they have collections of historic glass, of contemporary glass, of, you know, exhibitions about technology, what you use glass for, glass fiber, and there are classes and lectures and demonstrations of glass blowing and all of that. So it's huge, but in the middle of nowhere in upstate New York,
right.
they get millions of visitors. I've been there when there are thousands of people in the museum, and most of them are from tour buses, mm-hmm. you know, that have gone to this place in the middle of nowhere mm-hmm. to this incredible museum. So Trenton was an incredible center of pottery and ceramics production. Mm-hmm. And so if you could have a museum or center that is both about the history of ceramics and pottery in the United States, exhibiting beautiful historic pieces, beautiful contemporary pieces, but also studios for people who are doing work now, also training, you know, people who want to become artists in pottery and ceramic, mm-hmm. but also training in industrial ceramics, so kind of recreating that industry. So that's one fantasy. I've had a number of locations where I think it could go, but one would be where that parking garage, that empty parking garage is at the corner of Broad and Front, right across from Mill Hill Park, is one possible location right there.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing is to really play up the importance of the American Revolution in Trenton. Mm-hmm. There were two battles mm-hmm. in the American Revolution in Trenton. I don't know if there's any other city in the country that had, or place that had, two important battles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it really was a turning point up to those battles. The first battle was December 26, 1776. The second battle was January 2nd, 1777. Those two battles, those were the first American victories in the Revolution. If those didn't happen, mm-hmm. no United States.
Right.
And right. they are, you know, not adequately promoted in the city. Right. It could be a real draw. So
yes.
So I have these fantasies about a visitor center by the Battle Monument that just focuses on the first battle, and some more interpretive stuff by Mill Hill Park. And Washington came through Trenton on his way to get inaugurated in New York in 1789. commemorate, that was over the South Broad Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. Make a beautiful landmark there.
Right.
So just to draw people in, and also just when you're walking around the city, that they're just, you know, like more beautiful things.
Right.
A medium-sized theater, you know, kind of, you know, 300 or 400 seats, like a Trent Performing Arts Center. Yeah. Movie theaters, Trent Film Society, it does great things. They're mm-hmm. doing their, you know, Trent Film Festival in February or March, I forget when. But I would love to have a place that you could go see movies regularly in Trenton. You know, just more of all that.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at pictures of Trenton in the 1920s and 30s, it was a dense, walkable city filled with public transportation, like every city in America. And cities in the United States were really badly treated.
Yes.
Every city.
Yes.
And to kind of rebuild that walkable, connected kind of city is mm-hmm. really, I think, should be every city's goal. And that's what our goal is for Trenton.
That was very clear and
thoughtful. Yeah, really.
I'm with you on all of it.
It's reminiscent of that article you wrote about the Broad Street Bank building.
But what's interesting is you combined saying that, because we've had people on, I know you haven't heard, that they've said Trenton is already exactly what it should be for this time right now. Like they love where it's at, like meaning it's still a little raw. The people are here.
I mean, that's what I don't want to lose is like the arts people, like the art scene here and the people who are here. It is great.
Right.
So
we've had a couple people say that it's just.
Oh, I love that people say that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that people say that.
Yeah, and I always felt it's the people that are what really makes this city fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's they're diverse. Some are fun, some are crotchety, some are, it's just like such a nice big blend of people and we're all living together and bumping up against each other.
And then you use the existing organizations to build on what could come.
Yeah. So I'm right with you on all of that. That sounds wonderful.
You know, the danger with redeveloping is that you lose the character. So, you know, wondering about, around, like we were talking about Brooklyn, wondering on parts of it was like, you know, is this still Brooklyn?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, and I'm sure you can find whatever you think the real Brooklyn is, but you know, but there's like this Williamsburg. It's like I've never been to Williamsburg, and like it's the glitziest place, like on the East Coast. It's crazy.
Yeah, and Williamsburg was so gritty. And like it was the docks and
You roll up your windows when you go through there.
So the trick in Trenton is to figure out how do you hold on to it. And the people that live here, that have stayed here, that love the city, like that they don't move away, that they are part of what's happening, and they stay here, and I mean, that's going to be the trick.
Right, don't have the people that are already here move away, so that you don't get people in that start to change it, so that it just becomes bland,
like
other cities have become. I'm fearing for almost for Philly, because when we first came here, Philly was a little gritty. It was like the better New York, you know, it was smaller, it was walkable, it was really still great. And now we go there, I'm like, I think it's tipping over to...
Yeah, some neighborhoods,
It's becoming so popular, and you see the housing going up, and it's like, it's all good, but it's changing the flavor of the city. So how do you stop that from happening? I don't know, but...
I think Trenton is tough
Trenton's
enough.
Trenton's going
to be... Or tough enough?
Yeah,
tough
I think so.
To not let that happen.
And it's small, too. It's not like a big, giant city that... Yeah.
Sure. So, Hatch, where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people experience all things John Hatch online?
Well, there's a...
You know, you can throw
I don't have a per... Yeah, so HHE has a website.
There you go.
I forget what it is.
Great.
HHEDev.com or something like that.
Oh, great.
Something
just
like that.
Find it somewhere. Just Google John Hatch, I guess. That's how you find
it. You could Google me. You know, and Clark Kaden Hintz has a website, and, you know, I'm on Facebook sometimes. Very rarely. Roebling Lofts has a website.
Yes.
You know, but check out all, like, Passage Theater, you know, Trenton Film Society, Capitol Philharmonic. That's not me. That's all Trent. Yeah, that's all.
That's all on TrentWaves.com. Yeah. You click around town.
Yeah.
I'm asking how they find you.
Well, I also want to say or ask.
I'm usually walking around picking up litter.
I do that too.
The stuff he's doing, that's what he's really busy doing.
So Roebling Lofts, you said, is fully occupied right now, but you are looking to add more housing on the
like another 80 units. Yeah.
Okay. So people over the
next
next
year or two.
Okay. Cool.
No, you can at least go to TrentonWaves.com, click on the Round Town, click on the Roving Gallery, wait there. That'll lead you back to Roving Lofts, and you can just
You guys know how to work these.
Really. All right. So that being said, this has been another episode of Trenton Waves, with this time the elusive yet fascinating and lovely John Hatch from HHG.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. All right, so until next week, my dear. Did you have fun today?
I did.
Yeah, John was good.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't want it to end.
It's already been almost an hour. I think it's about time we end this thing and get out of here. All right, so until next week, this has been another episode of Trent Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.